Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In Revelation 3:20, we read, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me." It will be no surprise to you if I tell you that December is a busy month. It always is. It is also no surprise if I tell you it's going to be a very busy month for me personally. You have wonderfully and generously given your pastor a month to work on his education and to use some of his vacation time to be with his family. It's awesome that you are doing this for your pastor as a congregation. You've probably heard the phrase, "He who loves his wife loves himself." And the husbands here who have become wise husbands learned a long time ago that is very true. If you want to be loved, even adored by your wife, husbands, then love them with every fiber of your being. And as you know, you'll be repaid 100 times over. There's a reason that saying rings true. It comes from the Bible. In Ephesians 5, it says, "In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself." Well, I think tonight we can also modify this saying and put it this way. The congregation that loves its pastor loves itself. You are being a blessing to Pastor and Selena and the children, but you will be repaid many times over in love and care and dedication in the time to come. Again, it's going to be a busy month for me, busier than my recent ones, but not as busy as I used to be in California. In California, I had 2 services every Sunday, and we had a fairly elderly congregation, many of whom would not drive at night, so we had 2 Advent services every Wednesday. So one December, when we had 5 Sundays, I counted I did 18 services during the month of December. I remember about that time being at a local pastor's conference, a circuit conference, and the pastors talking about how they almost would get to the point where they'd say, "I can hardly wait till Christmas is over." So we reminded ourselves that maybe we needed to take a step back, and in the midst of the busyness and preparing messages and doing the things that needed to be done, we need to remember why we were having extra services. To rejoice in the great good news that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came into the world to be your Savior and mine. To remind ourselves what a precious time it was when we could gather together as God's people and worship and praise our Lord and Savior. A week ago, on the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, my wife Susan was sitting on the kitchen floor at our son's house. She was sitting there with 3-year-old Remy, and Remy was busily putting stickers all over her arm. I turned my phone on, a camera phone, and I said, "Remy, what are you doing?" He replied, "I'm putting stickers on Gigi," which is what he calls Susan. And then he said, "I have to decorate her so she's ready for Christmas." Well, that's a cute way to remind us that's what our Advent preparation is about, for you and I to get our hearts and minds ready for Christmas, ready to welcome the Christ child. The Advent season is about preparing for Jesus Christ. Several years ago, there was a Sunday school program called Putting the I in Christmas. It was about putting ourselves into Christmas. Right in the middle of the word Christ, which is the most important part of Christmas or Christmas, is the letter I. So for a couple minutes tonight, I want to talk about putting the I in Christmas. Talk about putting ourselves into our Advent Christmas preparation. We all use the word I fairly frequently. At least I do. Who hasn't said already, "Well, I'd like this for Christmas," or "I want that for Christmas," or "I would like to go there," or "I would like them to come and be with me." We use the word I so often because Let's face it, we're pretty important to us, aren't we? We're concerned about what happens in our lives to us. Well, at Christmas time, we want to put I into Christmas, but in the proper way. We want to be concerned that we put ourselves right in the middle of Christmas celebration. I'm going to relate to you a familiar story about a little boy in a Christmas program. I have told this story so many times through the years, I do not remember where I heard it. I do not remember where I've told it or not told it. If you've heard it already, I think you'll still be blessed by it. A Christian school class was going to put on the Christmas program. They wanted to act it out. They wanted to use the play to tell people about Jesus being the Savior come at last. So the teacher started handing out the parts. The tall, intelligent girl got to be Mary. Most of the boys were assigned as shepherds or wise men. The little girls with the pretty voices were in the angel choir. But then she came to this one little boy. She couldn't think what to do with him. He was a year behind in school, and he was big for his age, so he didn't look right standing next to the other boys. He was a monotone, so she really couldn't put him in the choir. He wasn't all that quick to learn, and so she didn't want to give him a lot of lines to say. Finally, she was thinking, you know, he's such a kind boy. He was sort of a natural protector to the younger ones in the class. Teacher knew he would be disappointed if he didn't have something important to do, so she thought, what can I do? Finally, she decided he could be the innkeeper. The innkeeper would stand at the door when Joseph knocked and say, there's no room in the inn. He would have just one line to say, and he was kind of big for his age, so he'd sort of have some authority behind it. Well, everything went well as they prepared for the pageant. The young innkeeper did very well. He learned his one line, did pretty good at saying, there's no room in the inn. The night of the program, everything seemed perfect. The hall was decorated. The children all looked cute in their costumes. The little innkeeper was almost in a trance. He was so excited about what was going on. As he watched the first part of the program, he almost wandered onto the stage, and they kind of had to hold him back because he was into it. He was in the Christmas story. As the angel Gabriel talked to Mary and Joseph, he was enthralled. Finally, it was time for his part, and they put him backstage behind the door, and Mary and Joseph came up, and Joseph knocked on the door, and the teacher held her breath. Would he be able to do it? She waited, and she sighed thankfully when the young innkeeper said, there's no room in the inn. And on stage, Mary and Joseph started to walk away. But as they did, the little innkeeper looked troubled. He was saddened by the thought that Jesus couldn't be in the inn and would have to go to a stable. But then his face brightened up and he called after them and said, wait a minute, you can have my room. And backstage the teacher cringed and she waited for the waves of laughter she knew would come from the congregation. But there was none. There was no laughter. They didn't laugh because they could see the little innkeeper's face. They saw him come nearly to tears when he thought about Jesus being born in a stable. And they saw his great joy when he found an answer they could have his room. Well, the play went on, and later everyone said it was the best one they'd ever had. That little boy put the I in Christmas. He put himself in the story. That's what you and I are trying to do tonight, to put ourselves into the story of Christmas, into preparing for the coming of the Christ child. Christmas is God looking down in love. Christmas is God saying, I don't want to punish my children. I will send my son in their place. It's God saying, I love you so much, I will forgive you through my son. Jesus came into the world to live and die and sacrifice so that you and I can be forgiven and free, not because of anything we do, but because of what Jesus Christ did for us. But salvation doesn't do us any good unless we are like that little innkeeper and we put it into use. We believe the great good news and we try to live it every day of our lives. I'm glad you're here tonight to hear the Word of God proclaimed, to sing some praises in our music, and to worship our loving God. Tonight it is not Joseph who knocks on the door, but Jesus Christ knocking on the door of your heart. Again, he said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone opens to me, I will come in and eat with him and dwell with him." My prayer tonight is that you and I will make room for Jesus Christ in the days to come. The world says there's no room. We're too busy doing other things. Too busy. Too much to do. Too many things to think about. But may each of us cry out with a little innkeeper, "Wait a minute, Jesus. There's room in my heart for you." Amen.